When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of the JRE Review. This week, we are talking about Joe's conversations with the legendary Theo Von. Wow, were they all over the place. Hilarious, as always. And also, we have the director of John Wick 4, Chad Stahelski. Pretty sure that's how you say it. What a legend. What a legend he was. And I still haven't seen John Wick 4 yet, but I can't wait. Joined as always by my co-host, Todd. How you doing, bud?
I'm great, buddy.
All right. You done some smelling salts today already?
Three in a row.
Love that. All right. Let's get this show started.
You are listening to the Joe Rogan Experience Review Podcast. We find little nuggets, treasures, valuable pieces of gold in the Joe Rogan Experience Podcast and pass them on to you, perhaps expand a little bit. We are not associated with Joe Rogan in any way. Think of us as the Talking Dead to Joe's Walking Dead.
You're listening to the Joe Rogan Experience Review.
What a bizarre thing we've created.
Now with your host, Adam Thorne.
This might either be the worst podcast or the best one of all time.
One, go. Enjoy the show.
All right. Theo Von. What a wacky character. You got to love him. You got to love him.
My notes don't even make sense, dude.
Obviously, the smelling salts came out again. This is kind of that thing. How many smelling salts do you think have been sold because of the episode with Theo and Rogan?
I know. That's
first doing him.
That's why we bought him.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Because we're easily influenced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say millions.
Millions of smelling salts. Yeah. We should have got some stock. Should have got some smelling salt stock. Is that a thing? I think it is.
It works well.
I love it that he made it down to the comedy mothership. Obviously, he loves it. Just had the best time. There was kind of a, what would you call it? A bit of a joke early on, kind of backhanded, that was razzing, if you're 35 and dating a 17-year-old, you can't be a comedian anymore.
Mm.
And
or you're just super creepy.
Well, it was a sneaky little blow on Chris D'Elia, I think. Whoops. I mean, I it's pretty obvious in that world, but yeah, he's Chris Bennett.
And but also,
he's a naughty boy.
To Joe's point, if you're a, 16-year, or if you're a 17-year-old male, and you bone your teacher, who's, let's say, 30 or 35, there's nothing wrong with that. She just gets a slap on the wrist.
Yeah. It does seem worse the other way around.
And gets fired. You know, she'll get fired from her job.
She'll get fired.
But all of his buddies are high-fiving him in the hallway, that's for sure.
She's still going to get put on, like, a sex offenders list, though. Okay. Still going to tell all the neighbors when she moves somewhere.
Not going to prison, though.
It doesn't seem as creepy somehow. Yeah, that's a double standard, for sure.
I mean, it's just weird.
Yeah.
I'd give it the weird, maybe less creepy, but just, I mean, it's just weird all around. Anyone who's 35 and wants to hang out with a 17 or 18-year-old,
it's just doesn't make sense. Do you think there's, like, some sort of, like, developmental problem? Like, they're just, like, weirdly mature, or are they like trying to relive some high school moment that they did? I don't even know.
I think
it's worth
probably
thinking
a bit
about.
Of both, but yeah, who knows?
Yeah, come on, teachers. All right, just teach them some math.
But yeah, all over the board here. We got orca attacks. We got monkeys throwing dogs off roofs. We're talking about Roseanne getting nailed by cars.
Yeah. Monkeys killing those dogs was interesting. Will you shut your laptop up, dude? We're doing
it's shut.
Podcast.
It's shut.
God,
jeez.
Apple Max. Yeah, so these couple of monkeys, I guess a dog attacked one of them, and they just went on a rampage and killed, like, all the dogs. That's pretty savage.
Yeah, don't mess with monkeys, dogs.
How do you think monkeys kill dogs?
They throw them off the roof.
Oh, they just carry them up there and chuck them?
They were taking little dogs and carrying them up to the roof and just chucking them off.
Oh, so it was like the babies.
Yeah.
They're just killing the baby dogs before they grow up to kill the monkeys.
The small enough dogs, yeah.
Yeah. Well, monkeys are strong. They probably carry all sorts of stuff up on a roof.
Yeah. More than bananas, that's for sure.
And yeah, and these orca attacks on boats. So I guess they've been paying attention to this for about 3 or 4 years, and now it's kind of getting out of control. It's like some orca out there they think may have got hit by a boat and is like now telling all the other ones.
Yeah.
And training them, and now they're just, they're going nuts.
Training them to hit the rudder so that the boat tips over and sinks.
Nuts. Yeah.
Smart whales, man.
Well, they are smart.
We always knew whales were smart.
Yeah, and if they want to turn against us, we're going to be in big trouble, you know? Imagine if blue whales, all sperm whales? What are the ones that...
They're the biggest
ones. They
do
the bubbles and then just all come up and they, like, eat a kayaker by accident? Which ones are those? Humpback?
I thought that was an orca, which is a humpback, yeah.
Okay.
Which this is, same type.
Yeah.
The ones that look...
Orcas were, like, killer whales.
Yeah, it's the same as a humpback, isn't it?
No, humpbacks are way bigger.
Okay.
Yeah. Either way, those ones could fuck up some boats. We got to watch out.
Pretty
crazy.
Stay
out of the ocean.
Animals are getting smart.
Yeah. Well,
I think it's
smart,
cool.
And then they're starting to hate us.
Good for them. I'd hate us, too.
Oh, all right, dude. I'm team human.
Team humpback on this one.
Big team humpback.
Yep. Team humpback.
Love that. What about Joe's revelation on mushrooms? That was kind of cool. I was like, I don't know why. I was like in the middle of writing a paper and I was super bored. I didn't want to do it. So I like went for a walk, just listened to some pods. And it was out the back of our place. Todd and I live close together. There's that park over there.
Yep.
You know, if you head out and the pond. And I was just walking around there and he's talking to Theo. And he's like, yeah, I had this revelation on mushrooms recently where it was like I could just feel this certain frequency that I was in that was really good. It just felt like the best way you can feel. And I don't know if people were offering drinks or he was thinking of having one, but either way, there was like some message that was like, hey, if you have a drink right now, it's going to kick you out of this frequency. And then, you know, everything's going to change for right now. So he decided not to. He just enjoyed it. And it does make you think on those days when you're, I don't know, in a bit of a funk or you find yourself like in a really good place. It's like, what is that? I wonder if that is ever measurable, like Theo was saying. Like one day you'll have a whoop strap or a, you know, Fitbit. And it's just like, yeah, it just can like guide you into that zone.
I mean, aren't you and I mostly in that zone? And then there's like a week of menstruation that I like to call it.
Yeah. Full moon.
It's a full moon.
It's a full moon. We haven't had enough sunlight.
The tides are strange. It's raining too much.
Yeah.
But all those other days, there is something going on where I am feeling more happy and more excited and my brain's working faster. I never thought of it as a frequency. But it makes sense. It's like that's what the earth gives us, right? We're all just energy moving around at a certain rate.
Right. But, you know, it also highlights like what gets you there, like what helps. Are we all supposed to be on some sort of low dose mushroom protocol or, you know, what is it that adjusts those things?
Yeah. I mean, and it is strange to think that the you know, Huberman talks about how only these macro doses are really kind of get you back to square one and grow, right? Grow the
neurons.
The neurons in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
But they're saying that the low doses of mushrooms, which I don't particularly agree that this is true, but I'm no scientist. They were saying that that doesn't do much for depression and keeping you happy. I feel like when I'm on a low dose of mushrooms, I feel way better. I'm a little bit more smiley.
Yeah.
You know, you don't really feel it. It sounded like Joe was on more than a low dose that day, though.
Yeah. Well, right? It certainly is true that you're not a scientist.
Right.
So, and neither am I. So,
but don't you feel better when you're on a low dose of mushrooms?
You can
very
have a good,
small.
Yeah, you can have a good time with the low dose ones. I mean, it definitely takes, you know, it's like the difference between a couple of beers and 10 beers. You know? You can have a good time on both. I think what Huberman was saying about the high dose or heroic dose, which is like, I don't know, above 4 grams or 4.5 or something.
3.5, I think.
That's like a big blast to like reset you and can really help with depression.
Right.
Assuming you're not on some sort of SSRI or antidepressant, something like that.
Yeah, you're not supposed to take psilocybin if you're on an antidepressant.
Yeah. Well, so what was Theo saying? He's on Zoloft, right?
No, he's on what's the other one?
Lexapro.
Lexapro, thank you.
Okay. Okay.
And I don't, he didn't
wait,
say
is that
long.
What you're taking?
Yep, that's what I take.
You take that too. Okay. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it kind of keeps him feeling somewhat, what was he saying, like normal. I guess he's saying that when he's not on it, there's just certain days that it's like too much work to like get himself straight.
Yeah, he mentioned that. For me, it keeps me more even keel, right? There's the down days are less down.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Ghostbed. Are you tired of waking up feeling like you got hit by a freight train? Well, let me introduce you to Ghostbed, the mattress that's about to up your sleep game. Ghostbed is a family-owned business bringing you top-of-the-line mattresses with patented cooling features so you can hit that pillow and instantly experience better sleep, cooler temperatures, and unmatched comfort. Now, you know me. I'm all about finding the best stuff out there, and Ghostbed doesn't disappoint. These mattresses are engineered to give you the most restful night's sleep you've ever had. But what really sets Ghostbed apart from their dedication to customer satisfaction, they are offering free shipping and returns, so you don't have to deal with the hassle of lugging a mattress around. And they are throwing in a 101-night mattress sleep trial. So you've got over 3 months to test out your Ghostbed and make sure it's a perfect fit for you. Most orders ship in 24 hours, so you can start catching those Z's on a whole new level this week. Head to ghostbed.com for a limited time. Use code JRER for 40% off your purchase. That's code JRER for 40% off your entire purchase site-wide. All right. Theo wears earplugs, mm-hmm. he said, in the morning. Mm-hmm. That was fascinating to me. You know, there's like a lot going on with Theo always, right? He doesn't really speak like normal people.
No.
You know, it's why his comedy is so unusual.
Because he's all over the place.
Well, I think it's just different. Like, there's a thing, I think it's called like synesthesia, which is something that is similar to what can happen when you take acid, right? You can like smell a color, right? Or see a sound. They kind of describe it like that. And they say some people have this in regular life, you know? They like, and it helps them, it kind of changes language. Like there was a thought that Shakespeare had that. That's why his metaphors are so good, because he saw it in a different way. And, you know, I've always felt like Theo has something like that. That's why he can just say some of the wackiest things. I mean, honestly, some of the best shit he's ever said is on his podcast, and it's like that. He just thinks of it, says it. It's like this wacky idea, cracks everyone up. Maybe he needs that time to like kind of slow himself down and like make sense of where his thoughts are and what he's thinking.
Did he explain why he did that? It was just because he wanted it to be, he just wanted to have zero distractions, right?
I think so. Yeah. It might just be that. It might just be that, and maybe it's just good for everybody to do something like that. But,
well, it was great to see the standing ovation. We saw that. We watched.
Oh yeah,
we watched Theo
when he went into the mothership.
Onto the mothership.
Well, it was
stage.
A surprise. They didn't know he was going to be there.
Had no idea he was going to be there. Yeah. I mean, that's got to feel great. Just the two of them talking about how crazy it is, and this happens a lot when the comics come on. Obviously, they always go back to how Joe can't believe it's real and how amazing it is. But it's just, I just love seeing his buddies on, just kind of see the camaraderie that's happening between him and all of his comic friends and how they're all getting such a boost from not only the show, but the mothership and also going and doing their own things. I mean, and they can just sit and rant for 2 hours about, I mean, absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, they were all over the board, dude. How many of your notes are just like the most random shit?
I have a lot of question marks next to things that they said, for sure. But it was very entertaining, like it always is. I loved hearing their story of Joey Diaz going up there and Joe talking about how really in the old Comedy Store, when Joey Diaz went on stage, it was like the comic that the other comics needed to see. And I've probably seen Joey perform at the Comedy Store. You know, he was there quite a lot, like maybe 10 times. And for sure, I've never laughed harder in like a short period of a stand-up than I have watching him perform. He can just take, it's like a tidal wave of energy. Mm. And some of the stuff that he's saying, it's like nobody can get away with that.
Nice.
So it's so great to hear that he's gone back down there. I guess he only did one show, huh? They said that he was set up for two, decided to just do one. He was like, nah.
Well, he's got a New York Times bestseller now. He doesn't need it.
Hey, good point. Shout out to Joey. Hey-o. Well done. Dude.
Hey-o.
I had a good feeling that that book was going to go to number one. I still got to buy it, too.
It's cool.
I mean to. But good for him. That must feel good, right?
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah,
it's incredible. Dude. What did you think of the duck dicks? I'd never seen anything like that. I didn't know ducks had dicks that were like longer than
long,
their body.
Stringy, curly.
It's like a corkscrew.
What is going on there? Why?
I had no clue.
Yeah, what?
No
do
idea.
Other birds have?
I don't know, man. Like that was something I learned.
And yeah, Joe's saying it's a bit rapey to watch him. It's a bit rapey.
And just that.
I didn't know there was so much excitement going on in the duck pond.
No, lots going on there.
Mm-hmm.
You really, I mean, I don't even understand how it fits. How does it fit in?
I don't know. They got like a decoy vagina too, Joe said.
And
he seems to know a lot about duck anatomy.
He definitely. I mean, so Theo, for a good 10 minutes, couldn't get just big dicks out of his head.
Yeah.
And then they were showing photos of the 132-pound scrotum.
Ooh.
I'd never seen anything like that either.
That seems exhausting.
There's a lot of random YouTube footage on this episode.
Mm-hmm. Didn't they also show, like, the biggest dick in the world guy?
Yeah, 13 inches.
They talked about him.
Didn't get to see the photo.
I wonder if that guy passes out when he gets an erection.
Mm.
It's like he gets
blood.
Turned on and just like falls over in the mall.
But he like just he can't. Faints.
Yeah.
All the blood goes out of his head into his other head.
Just every time. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, they got into the vaccine thing again. The okay. Saker family stuff, right? About how they didn't go to jail. These are the guys that, you know, turned us all on to that, you know, the most hated drug in America and it kills everybody, which
yeah.
is... Oh, gosh. I'm going to forget the name now. It's the opioid. Anyway.
Yeah, what the hell is that
Son
called?
Of a gun.
What, codeine.
Well, it's oxycodone. Thank you.
Oxycodone, yeah.
These guys, they just get fined. And I don't know how we're going to change the system here. Other than people like Joe talking about it, how do you change the system? Because it just seems so rigged.
Well, it seems like a good profit margin in a sense, right? Let's say that you host a big party and it's expensive. You got a band, you got caterers, you got all these things, and you make $100,000.
Well, let's just put it into their terms. They made $12 billion and they had to give $5 back.
That's what I mean. You still made $7
right?
So even if you look at a party that where you make $100,000, but you got to pay $60,000 to everybody involved, you still made $40
Right.
Like, and you,
still
and there's
a great
no
party.
Yeah, there's no fines. I mean, there's no like criminal time. You know, there's
it's
some
unreal.
Bad press, but how often does bad press really hit us in the media? I mean, these companies are sponsoring all the news and right. and TV stuff anyway, and newspapers.
I mean, in New Zealand, they're not allowed to sponsor anything anywhere else. No television, right? No, none of these companies like Pfizer can sponsor anything other than in the United States and New Zealand.
Yeah.
So that, to me, is the number one thing we got to stop.
That seems like a problem.
It's a problem.
Yeah, it's not exactly de-incentivizing them to make products differently.
Of course not.
Constantly getting away with literal murder.
Yeah. And so is that money going to the families? We don't even know where that money's going.
How did Joe describe it? It was like something of responsibility. I forgot the word. But like a separation of responsibility.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, they're not responsible
they're not right there.
At all.
They're just on yachts and big houses, and they're like, well, we're doing our best, and some people get hurt.
No, so he equated it to if you're in a large crowd and somebody's getting their ass kicked, right? If somebody's getting beat up in a large crowd, or if you're working for a large company and they're doing bad things, there's so many people doing it that you kind of go with it,
That's
right?
That's it. Oh, diffusion
yeah,
of responsibility.
It's a diffusion
That's
of
it.
Responsibility. Yeah. So if you were the only one doing it, if you were just one man or one woman and you created this company and you're the sole proprietor to this company doing all these bad things, yeah, you're going to feel way worse.
Yeah.
But if you're working for this brand, I mean, of course you're going to feel bad. But I think there's a lot to that. It's like, well, if everybody's doing it, no big deal. It's like you're in a crowd and no one's helping someone who's getting their ass kicked. Okay, well, if they're not helping, I'm not going to help. But if you were there... you're getting beat up. Obviously, mm-hmm. I'm going to help because you're my friend.
Yeah.
But even if you were just in a crowd.
Hit him with a chair.
If you weren't in a crowd of people. I did that to Adam last week. If it was just someone you didn't know and there was three of you and there's two guys beating up one person and the three of you are obviously going to do something about it. You're not just going to walk away.
Right.
Like three other people, strangers. Yeah, you're going to try to break it up.
But if there's another 50 people there, you might be like, well, just kind of watch how this turns out.
Someone else will deal with it.
Record it, put it on the gram.
Right. You just kind of push it off to somebody else.
This podcast is brought to you by Paint Your Life. We do a lot of ski and snowboarding photography here in our studio space because we live in Bozeman, Montana. It's a lot of skiing up here. And Paint Your Life did a fantastic job turning one of our photos into an amazing painted portrait. Paint Your Life transforms your photos into a one-of-a-kind, beautiful hand-painted portrait by professional artists. Get a professional hand-painted portrait created from any photo at a truly affordable price, an unforgettable gift for anybody. Upload photos to create anything you imagine, put yourself in a location you've always wanted to go to, or add a lost loved one to a special occasion to create the portrait of your dreams. You can give the most meaningful gift you have ever given at paintyourlife.com. There's no risk. If you don't love the final painting, your money is refunded, guaranteed. And right now, as a limited time offer, get 20% off your painting. That's right, 20% off and free shipping. To get this special offer, text the word JRER to 87204. That's JRER to 87204. Text JRER to 87204. Paint Your Life. Celebrate the moments that matter the most. Message and data rates may apply. See terms and details. Text JRER to 87204 to get 20% off. Well, Theo was really getting worked up. And in fact, that might have been the most mad I've ever heard him be when he's talking about these companies. Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, maybe he's had some family that have been affected by this. I know that, where was he?
With the
oxycodone. He's from Louisiana.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, I mean, maybe in that area he saw some people really struggle with this stuff. I know Joe has talked about having friends whose lives have gone off the rails for it, you know? I mean, like Joe said, he had, what did he have, like some sort of nose surgery, right?
Yeah, he had deviated septum.
And then his doctor is like, oh, hey, yeah, take this. Take this and, you know, all these two different medications and you know, that'll help. And he's like, how much does this hurt? Is it going to get worse? Is it going to be the same? Like, he just didn't need it.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to, see how people can get hooked on this stuff. I mean, yeah. If a doctor gives you something and it's from the doctor and it feels great, like better than just the pain of whatever your nose is or your knee surgery or whatever, I mean, yeah, you might want to just keep doing it.
It is a lot harder. Yeah, yeah. It is a lot harder to get now from what I've heard from friends that have knee surgeries and, you know, they're giving you different pain relievers instead of opioids nowadays because it's become such an epidemic.
It's probably a good move.
Yeah, it is a good move. And I think that, you know, there was a guy on, I can't think of his name, the guy who was selling drugs for Viagra. Remember that guy who was on? He was on Rogan. And he talked about how these doctors and the reps for the doctors would get steak dinners.
Yeah, yeah. Golf clubs.
Right.
Trips to Hawaii.
They would have to spend, you know, $5,000 a week or whatever it was to, you know, to pay off the doctors, and the doctors would then help them out. And anyway, it's all just a money thing. And it's like he started to feel bad because everyone's kind of going with it. And as soon as he decided, this doesn't really feel right, if he said anything, all of his buddies that he's working with are like, fuck you, dude. Like, you just cut into our $5,000 a week credit.
Yeah.
That we have to spend, and we're having a great time. We don't give a crap about these patients. I mean, at the end of the day, it all comes down to the money that is being created from it.
Yeah, dangerous.
Right.
Yeah, nasty.
And how do you stop that? I don't know. We talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
And it's with politicians, and it's with drug companies, and now they're all in cahoots, and Joe talks about it all the time. These executives of drug companies are then now getting pushed into, you know, being CEOs and politicians, or politicians are, you know, taking money from drug companies, and then all of a sudden their political career is done and they end up being the CEO of Pfizer or whatever other company.
Right.
That's
what's so nasty about it, though.
It's like, how is that real? And nobody talks about it.
Theo has a lot of experience with addiction stuff and counseling and the therapy that comes with the AA and the other ones.
Yeah, like, well, he said he does the AA prayer every morning.
Right, the Serenity Prayer. Yeah. Yep. And, you know, one thing he talks about with alcohol is he was like, it's like the only disease that tells you you're not sick, you know? Mm. And then he kind of said that Rogan, in a way, has redesigned being an addict. He has like a good balance for it. Mm. So there's a balance. Though with some people, it doesn't seem that way. It seems like moderation is just like these drugs, even alcohol, has such claws in some people that there's no balance for them that they can maintain. You know, it probably is just availability, but maybe not even that, like the strength of it. Imagine if you have like this massive desire all the time to get drunk. I mean, you can just go into really any liquor store and buy like the cheapest little thing of vodka and it gets you there immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like you and I prefer mostly drinking beers, right?
Yeah,
it takes kind of a lot of beers often to get pretty smashed. And you're just not putting the time in, right?
Yeah, well, and I just hate being hungover too.
Well, that too.
But I mean, anytime I send it, I just hate myself the next day.
Yeah, I hate you too.
But yeah, some people, you just can't stop.
Uh-uh. Yeah, and it's right there. And I think that's why it's good to have people like Theo that speak so clearly on it. You know, Russell Brand is another example that's like really open and honest about their experience with it and how they stick to it. And fair play to them. You know, sometimes I used to think that people that had to quit were like missing out, you know, or they just couldn't find a balance and that there was a better way. But it's hard to say now. I'm not convinced. I'm like, yeah, if you've identified that it's too much, you gotta stop. Get away.
Yeah, I mean, I could see Theo getting way too drunk real quick just from the outtakes of him doing the freaking smelling salts.
Yeah.
He's like, give me another.
He's only allowed a few drugs these days. Though, saying that, I think that it would have been really very fun to have partied with Theo back in the day. I bet he was an animal.
But absolutely.
Good for him for staying clean. What did you think about him having RFK on? Kennedy and that pod. So Rogan has him on this week. I haven't heard that one yet, but we're reviewing next week. Yeah, it sounds good. And I guess it broke one of the, violated some rules.
Like, of course.
Through YouTube, but it was the WHO.
The COVID violation.
Rule. And yeah, they demonetized it. And it happened like way, way later. Do you think Theo's like, you know, he's not really out there making like political stances on things. So this might have been a bit of a shock to him. I don't think he's had many really controversial,
right,
potentially controversial podcasts. I haven't heard his one with RFK, but, you know, how bad could it have been? But just the fact that all those months later, YouTube just says, no. You know, are they doing themselves a disservice?
It's just surprising. I mean, clearly YouTube is getting paid off by, you know, I don't know who their sponsors are, but it just saves them from getting some sort of lawsuit in the future, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. And then, you know, obviously he's talking about, you know, Joe brought up like the percentage of people that were affected by polio, how many were asymptomatic, yet everyone was getting that vaccine. And I don't think it hurts to be educated on anything. I think for the longest time, we just assumed that, you know, all vaccines were 100% good and had to be taken. And now people are asking different questions. Right. And I don't see how just wanting to know is so bad. I really don't. The last thing I wanted to hit on, because we're kind of running over.
Well, hold on.
Theo.
The polio thing, though, you got to bring up the DDT part, because what he was mentioning is that DDT could have been a cause of a lot of the symptoms that people were having. They have similar symptoms to polio.
Something like that, right?
And they were spraying that stuff all over the place, all over crops, all over. Yeah. It's a pesticide.
It's to get rid of the mosquitoes, right?
Whatever was screwing up the crops at the time that they were doing.
I don't think it was crops. DDT was for, I think it was for mosquitoes, because of like malaria.
Mosquito. Okay.
You know, I've traveled.
Okay, I thought it was for crops.
Well, you're not a scientist. Maybe it is.
Maybe
it is. But that shit was getting everywhere. They found that in like, freaking penguins in the North Pole, man. It's like in everything. The last bit on Theo, which is something I wanted to talk to you about, that guy stuck upside down in that snowboard video. You see that?
Oh, yeah.
Does that freak you out?
I saw that when it came out.
Now, Todd's a big snowboarder. He runs a snowboard magazine up here in Bozeman called Bomb Snow Magazine. It's dope. Check it out.
Check it out.
Yeah, you know, you've been around this forever. Like,
yeah.
How does that hit you? Like, I see it, and I'm like, fuck that. That's why I don't get very adventurous. But
I mean, I was so blown away that he came across that snowboard that was upside down. If you watch the video, the guy's skiing, and he's from a completely separate party. He's skiing by himself, I think, but he has his GoPro on, and it's on his chest, and he's skiing through the woods, and all of a sudden, he like skis over somebody's snowboard, and the snowboard is completely upside down in the snow. The guy's stuck in a tree well. He realizes after like two more turns, like, holy shit, I just like skimmed over somebody's snowboard that was upside down.
Yeah.
So he takes off his skis, he hikes back up the mountain, and you see all of this on video, and he starts carving out. I mean, he's like using his hands, he's digging out the snow as fast as he can, and you can hear him breathing. He's freaking out.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy was a good 5 feet deep in this tree well. I mean, this is at, I think it was at Mount Baker, somewhere in Washington. A lot of snow.
Did it say how long he was upside down for?
I don't think. I'm not sure if they would know.
God. You know what I mean? They could ask him afterwards.
It would. I mean, maybe he didn't know. He could have been, I would say he was under there, you know, it could have been anywhere from 5 minutes to 20 minutes. Who knows?
Jesus.
But either way, he would have died if that guy wasn't skiing.
Right.
And skied right over top of him.
Yeah.
And then you could see, I mean, the whole thing is on film. He digs out his air, you know, he digs out a hole right for, you know, for his airway.
Now let me ask you this, because you guys go up on the ridge or whatever on Bridger.
Yeah.
And you have the avalanche beacon or whatever. Mm-hmm. Do you have to like push the button on it?
You just keep it turned on. And then, so if someone
can find you.
Yeah, so there's a frequency, right, that will beep if you're close to another. They call them beacons or transceivers. If you're close to another transceiver, you put it on transceive mode, and you can hear it beep the closer you get. So you kind of walk in a grid pattern until you hear another beep, and then it'll show you how close you are. It'll give you like the amount of meters away or okay. feet away.
So it doesn't like send a message to like ski patrol or no. a helicopter or something?
No.
Okay.
No, that's a spot. That's like if you're way out in the backcountry, if you're not around a resort, you're going to want to use one of those spot things to call in like the search and
rescue.
Oh, so
even if he had had one of those things, that might not have helped him because nobody knew he was there.
Well, right? Even if they did, he's upside down in the snow. I mean, by the time you get to him, he's going to be dead. He's going to suffocate.
Oh, my God.
But okay. That's, you know, the tree wells are really a scary thing because you get closer, the closer you get to a tree, they call it a tree well because all the snow kind of goes into that one spot, right? And it's kind of fluffy underneath the tree. And so when you hit it, you sink.
Oh.
Right? It's not really packed down because no one's like going over it because it's right at the edge of the tree.
So he just fell into a hole.
He just fell backwards upside down into one. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
So we don't have as much of that problem here in Montana. We don't get as much snow as they do in the west, you know, west of here in the northwest.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that was an incredible video. I mean,
thank God he was
somebody
there.
Was looking out for that dude.
Thank God he was there. All right, well, fuck all that. Don't do it. Stay away from trees. They're bad when you're skiing. Just be real careful. Stick to the bunny slopes like me. No, just kidding. Do what you need to. All right, let's jump over to Chad, John Wick director, John Wick 4. What a legend.
Stahelski.
To think that they could do four movies,
yeah.
Dude, with really like the most insane violence ever. Keanu Reeves, absolute legend. And this guy had never even directed a movie before.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah. I wonder how you like get into that position.
So did Stahelski direct all four of these or just this last one?
No,
because the writer changed.
Yeah, but the writer's not the director.
Right.
Yeah.
But that was interesting to me, like the writer of the John Wick stories is Derek Kolstad, but then the fourth version, which is the one that came out, that mm-hmm. just came out, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was written by another person, Shea Batten.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean,
I don't know. I wonder what happened there. Maybe they bought the rights. Somebody else bought the rights and
might be
either way. So Stahelski, he had directed other movies, but this is kind of his breakthrough. These John Wick movies are his breakthrough movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what did they say? He killed more people than he spoke words in this one.
Crazy.
That's wild. Well, I think the big takeaway from this episode, which was so cool, is we all know, Rogan ever since the first, what is that? Sober October, where they had the MyZone straps and they were competing against each other to burn as much energy and get as much points as you can. Rogan, and it's well known, did like an insane day on the elliptical where he just watched the bath scene over and over again. And, you know, just crushed it. Made like a ridiculous amount of points. I used to have one of those MyZones and I tried like a really intense day once. I wasn't even close to what he did. Yeah, Rogan is a savage.
It just tells you how many calories you burned, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or it's like output of energy based on your heart rate.
Okay.
So yeah, he just went fucking berserk and crushed it. So he's been a big fan. By the third John Wick movie, they didn't have a muscle car in there, which is something Rogan has talked about a lot. I think they had motorcycles mostly.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't like a dedicated muscle car.
Now there is.
And then Chad met him at Terran Tactical, met Rogan. I think that's where they met. And later, when he got to Europe, text Rogan and was like, shit, what car do we need in this movie? And what did he say? A 71 Barracuda,
mm-hmm.
I think. He even had a picture to send him immediately. They got the exact car for that movie. That's some influence, Rogan.
It's pretty cool.
And that's good influence, too. You know? It's not like he's fucking the movie up. He's definitely making it cooler.
No, that car's sweet.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
What'd you think about all the blood scenes being CGI? I didn't realize that.
Cool. It kind of makes sense.
Because there's so many blood scenes.
Yeah, I think back to the last couple, and I remember when they were talking about it. I think back to two and three. I don't remember one as well. It's been a long time since I've seen it. But yeah, I mean, blood is like obviously flying out everywhere. And I can't remember if it didn't look good, but I did notice there was like a lot of it, you know, just kind of hitting everybody. And after we talked about the wardrobe changes,
oh yeah,
and how much time that would take, I'm like, it makes sense. It's better you guys do it that way for sure.
I got to give it up to Tarantino, though, for never using that.
Yeah, he's old school.
Always using the blood packs.
Yeah, he's old school. You think he did that for
Kill Bill?
Kill Bill? Dude, that movie is like the most insanely gory movie of all time.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Such a good flick.
The samurai scene.
Such a good flick.
Out of control.
And then the dogs being trained to attack the color green. Uh-huh. That was cool. You do like the green screen, so then you can do a CGI with the... Right? That would be the point of that,
I think,
right?
That's the point, yeah.
So whatever's green, you can then put in some gory fake, you know, limbs and arms getting cut off and bit into.
Yeah. What do you do with dog that's been trained to attack people's nuts after a movie's finished? It seems like that's way too much of a liability to have around.
What was that? What was that movie? Sick Balls? What was that movie? Was it the movie with the fat guy who had to eat the pies? It's like the old Stand By Me. Wasn't that in Stand By Me?
Wait.
Remember the flick Stand By Me?
Yeah.
With River Phoenix?
Of course.
One of the greatest movies of all time.
So good.
But I swear there was a dog in there. It just reminded me of it. It was like, Cujo, Sick Balls.
Oh.
Anyway, I don't know. What do you do with a dog like that? You just leave him on set?
Well, it sounds like Halle Berry was like a big part of the training for it. She also sounds like a badass.
Of course.
Like... a serious badass. So super hot.
She called him.
Used to be, I think, like a... She was originally like a Miss America. She won it. She won Miss
Makes
America.
Sense.
So super hot. Starts acting. And now at what? Is she in her 50s? She's got to be.
Yeah.
And just kicking ass. Very impressive. I'm very impressed by that. How old is Keanu now?
He's in his 50s.
He is. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Joe's age. Doing his jits. Pretty sure that's the first time I saw like decent looking jits in a movie. And also, what was he saying about that? It was like easier to film kind of like a jujitsu scene than a fight scene because you have to keep changing the angles. That's interesting to think of. Like I'd never really considered that before. It makes you think, why wouldn't they have done more fight scenes like that in the past then?
Because there's not as much action with jujitsu.
Well, that's true, but you can do some cool stuff.
You know?
Like flip over and roll into an armbar and snap it.
Yeah, I get it. But people want to see people flying through the air kung fu.
That's
want to see
point.
Kung fu.
We do.
You want to see...
Everybody kung fu fighting?
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. You want to see
you want to see
Bruce.
Yeah.
You want to see good. Bruce Lee style.
Uh-huh.
Fucking jumping on stuff, doing backflips.
Yeah, makes sense.
You know, spin kicks, roundhouse.
Yep.
All that good stuff.
Chuck Norris.
Karate Kid.
Chuck Norris stuff.
I mean...
Mm-hmm.
Matrix style,
like
you know, freeze frames. They do freeze frames in this film, in Matrix style.
No,
they kind of never brought that back. That was like a one and done like a 1 year and done.
I think other movies tried it, but then it was just so clearly a ripoff of the Matrix that they didn't even it didn't work. You know,
yeah.
It was like, what are you doing? It's like a soccer game and the ball's, you know, camera's spinning around a kick. You're like, okay, pretty cool, I guess. What about Joe building that door at his bar at the Comedy Mothership that's the same as the Assassin's Bar in the Continental? That sounds dope. I mean, at the end of the day, when I hear that...
Heard of that.
Yeah, when I first heard that, I just thought, well, of course. If you have, like, unlimited cash and, you know, you can just do whatever you want, that's the kind of thing you should do. You should do cool shit like that, I think. Nothing wrong with it. I want to see that door now.
I'm sure it's badass.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? The one of the bigger takeaways, and this is totally off subject from the movie. They did talk a lot about the movie, but then they got into kids and, you know, some politics and stuff. But this, I think it was based off the digitally enhancing everything and how things are going to change so much.
Oh,
AI
yeah.
is going to change
AI.
So much. And you're having these transcendental experiences and AI is going to take over like video games, which I had never thought about really. I mean, you look at those goggles and you're thinking, okay, that's fun, whatever, but it's going to be to the point where you're not going to know what is a video game and what's not. It's going to be so realistic. And then So Joe was talking about his kid, and this was kind of on that same line of like, what are kids going to do? They're never going to leave the house.
Right.
You're never going to get your kid to be able to leave the fucking house and play soccer anymore or read a book.
Probably not.
Because there's just going to be other stuff that's just so much more stimulating.
Mm-hmm.
But he was talking about how his kid, his little girl, is like a little prisoner, right? The mom is saying, his kid can only watch X amount of
YouTube.
Phone or YouTube a day.
Yeah.
And she was figuring out how to rewind that app and then take a screenshot of the time she was already on YouTube.
Well, she was doing screen recording.
Screen recording, then showing it to her mom.
Cheeky.
Right?
I love that.
I loved it too, yeah. But you
Joe
know
was proud
every
of it.
Kid's gonna do
Joe is proud of it, yeah. It's so smart.
Oh, but it freaks me out, man, because I got a 3-year-old, and it's just like...
Well, they're going to figure it out, too.
They're all going to figure it out.
What do you think about the writer's strike stuff? I mean, you know, you produce a magazine, you know, and I know when I first talked to you about the types of things ChatGPT could do, you were not a big fan of it.
No, I was
freaking
out. You
felt like it was taken away from the human experience. And I get where they're at. You know, I don't want a bunch of people or in the entire industry to lose their job. You know, and does this ultimately mess with creativity? Because like, what's his name? Michio Kaku,
yeah.
He was basically saying that all this program is doing is plagiarizing other things. So
right.
It's just mixing up ideas that already exist. So how does that change the quality of new ideas? I mean, that's problematic.
Right.
But then also, it's hard to, you think of all the budget constraints on a show, and now they could come along and say, hey, ChatGPT, write me an entire comedy, you know, like Friends, and yeah. It just makes it. That's a little difficult to stop. Are they going to have to prove that they didn't use AI somehow?
I think there's just going to be a lot of lawsuits, and it's going to be hard to tell what's real and what's not. I mean, we're already seeing it happen. And we're not going to be able to stop it. So whether you like it or not, it's happening. It's already happening. I mean, that's kind of where the point that I got to is just realizing that this is not going anywhere. So we might as well start using it to our advantage.
Yeah, and help it integrate into these people's jobs instead of having to get rid of them. I mean, one thing I saw, I was at the gym watching the TV, like in between sets, and it showed, while listening to this part at the same time, it showed that Paul McCartney is releasing a new Beatles song or album, I can't remember which one, that has John Lennon in, and it's like AI is added to it.
That's awesome.
And there's probably a few things going on there. One, I think that pretty sure the Beatles sold a lot of their back catalog for a lot of money. I think it may have even been to like Michael Jackson's estate. So if there's new versions of their songs that are AI created, but Paul's doing it, does he then get all the rights to it?
Mm.
And therefore, is that all that bad? Like maybe they could come out with a really cool new Beatles album.
A lot of lawsuits, man.
That could be wild.
Dude. I want some new Nirvana albums that Courtney Love cannot make money off of.
Oh, you're not a big fan of her?
Absolutely not.
Oh.
I think she had something to do with his death.
Whoops. Now we're going to get sued. I don't agree,
all right,
Courtney.
Just kidding. Just kidding. Love
but
you,
yeah,
Courtney.
New albums like that would be amazing. New Doors albums, new Jimi Hendrix. Like, why the fuck not? Let's take actors. Let's take Arnold in his prime. I don't know if you've seen the new Netflix documentary with Arnold. It's brilliant. But yeah, to go back and do like, you know, Predator, you know, another prequel, but it's like him and it's exactly how he was when he was at his most like massively buff and
it's
awesome.
It's going to happen.
That's to me kind of cool.
It's going to happen.
I think. And also, maybe it messes it up for new actors and new, you know, super muscly dudes that are trying to get in there. Like, but.
Hey, man.
Sorry.
I'm still waiting on a new Tupac album, and it's going to be ridiculous.
Love that.
Yeah.
Love
okay.
it.
They
All
have
right,
his
guys.
Voice. Let's do it.
Go out. Check out John Wick 4. Of course. It sounds dope. I need to watch it. I'll watch it this weekend.
There you go.
And anyway, we love you. We'll talk to you next week. Later.
Peace out.